Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am T.J. Jackson, and we are here. I am here with my two brothers, Taj and Terrell.
Hola, everyone.
And we have a special guest host. That's right, yeah, special co-host. He's not a guest, he's a co-host. In the room with us, and it's none. Prince, do you want to go by Michael or
Prince? Prince is cool.
We have our amazing cousin. I get sensitive just saying it, but our amazing cousin Prince is with us.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
Thanks for coming, Prince.
So before we dive into talking with Prince, Henry is not with us today. That's it. I just wanted to mention that. So it's just us four Jacksons in the room. Terrell, go ahead, man.
We are live on the Power of Love Radio Show. So if you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we will open it up to taking a few questions via Twitter. So if you have any questions about anything we're talking about today, anything, loss, grief, and the topics we're going to cover, you can tweet us at, and I'm going to hand it over to Taj.
The Twitter is at DDJ Foundation.
Okay, and you want to go over the other social handles?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Facebook is DEE Jackson Foundation, and Instagram is at DEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org.
Beautiful. And again, we're not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have lived through some of this thing called life, dealing with some losses, overcoming it, finding inspiration. If you feel the need, you need serious help, please seek and find a licensed therapist to help you. So, we have Prince here, which is so awesome. We've been laughing and just having fun for the last 30. We've been supposed to be prepping for today's show, but we've been just talking about what? Skyrim tomorrow, Prince?
And Titanfall.
And Titanfall video games. But we don't know exactly what we want to talk about. But the one thing we definitely wanted to talk about, Terrell, go ahead.
I thought it would be interesting if we spoke about goals and inspiration. Because just the four of us in here, I know we've had great people ahead of us teaching us and being great examples. And I thought it'd be a good thing for us to talk so our listeners can hear and also be inspired by some of the things that inspired us. And we can just, chat about it.
I love it. Taj?
No, that's a very good point, Terrell. And I think there's no, question that one of the inspirations is our uncle and
Prince's dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, that I kind of learned life's lessons through him in terms of giving back and setting an example and being a role model, mm-hmm. To others. And when I say role model, you don't have to be famous to be a role model. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a role model. Teachers and people like that, they're the first role models that people have. And so for me, just watching and seeing that, I'm so eternally grateful for those mm-hmm. lessons.
I completely agree.
Yeah, I think for the three of us, obviously, we were very driven when we were younger. We knew what we wanted to do. It was all about music and recording and working hard. And then obviously when we lost our mother, it was a big setback. And I think I'm speaking for the three of us. It just, music wasn't on our mind as much. Mm-hmm. And the reason I want to speak about it is because how do you get back up and continue going for your goals and being inspired? Because at that moment, I know you guys felt the same. Everything just didn't feel worth it. Everything was just lost.
Yep.
So that's basically it. And for us, it was our family. And I think Uncle Michael spearheaded that because obviously Papa T, he was hurting as well. And,
yeah. Yeah.
And he flew us out to New York, and from there we got back on our feet and started recording. And it's just everything, all the inspiration,
yeah,
all the books and lessons. And
so with that, Prince, I'm going to ask you, what is you're telling us about a poem that
oh.
you tell me about? Or is there anything else you want to say? This floor is yours, man.
It's well, I think before you actually get into this conversation, I think it's very important to talk about where, because Terrell was talking about a drive and what you want your goals to be. And I think that comes from how you're raised and who your parents are. Now, when my dad died, I was younger than you guys were when your mom died. So you guys had more of a relationship with her, and also you had already had your career going and your work going. So her to die in the middle of that kind of definitely put it to a dead halt. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's different from my situation, is because even though my dad had raised me and cultured me to follow my goals and taught me how to do that, when he died, yes, it was put on hold, but I wasn't already doing it, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. I was mm-hmm. learning about it mm-hmm. and I was practicing it, but it wasn't a profession just yet. And I think the most important part of overcoming that would be to continue that goal in honor of them.
And Prince, point. You say that because that's exactly what your dad told us, mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. you know, take all that hurt and make your mom proud. And to hear you say that is right on. Your yeah. dad told us the same exact things.
Exactly.
And Prince, where did you get the sexy voice from, man?
I'm serious. Sexy radio voice.
They call it my Barry White voice. In my life.
Seriously, that's crazy. So Prince, tell us about the poem. And how did you discover it?
I was in English class in 12th grade. And it was an advanced placement class. So if I remember correctly, it's Dylan Thomas's mm-hmm. Poem, and it's called Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night.
And what is it about the poem that resonates with you?
Well, I like poetry, actually. I've liked it ever since I was in high school. There are certain poems, like I love the format of the poem for Shakespeare's Sonnet 130. It's written in iambic pentameter, so it's the closest rhythm to the heartbeat. And it's supposed to be a love poem. And then the last two couple, they're called the heroic couplets. They're supposed to show unity.
Nice.
And this poem, I don't know much about the format of it. I haven't studied it like that. But the reason why I think this poem stood out to me, first of all, it reminded me of Grandpa a lot. And it's...
What was it about that reminds you of Grandpa?
Well, this isn't when Grandpa had a stroke. And this isn't when anything serious was going on. But it's the poem itself is the guy wrote it for his dad who was dying. And he told him, don't accept death, because I think his dad was. He was just waiting for it to happen, and he was giving up.
Mm.
And the poem is saying, you know, fight until the end. And I think that reminded me of Grandpa, because that's what he's always talking about.
The
I'm
hawk.
A Jackson. I'm tough, you know? And there's something to say about someone, even in the face of adversity or in the face that you know you're going to die, is to continue living your life to the fullest extent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
cool.
I think that's why I liked it.
Is there a certain line or phrase that you love or that sticks out
to
you?
It's probably the main part of it where it goes, do not go gentle into that good night, rage against the dying of the light. And I like that for two different reasons. One, because of the, I don't know if you would consider oxymoronic or paradoxical language, where the first line is very gentle. Do not go gentle. It's not as aggressive, and it's very passive. And then the second line is a complete turnaround where it says rage against the dying light. So you have both sides, and I think it fits per different situation. There are certain situations where you don't have to fight, but you don't have to give up. Just stand your ground. And then there are other situations where you need to fight, and you need to push forward. And I think that's why those lines stand out to me.
Cool.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah, and also a lot of people might have heard it in the movie Interstellar.
You know what? I have not seen that movie.
It's a really good movie. I saw it in a hot theater, and I sat through the whole thing. It was amazing.
Yeah,
really well done.
I gotta see that.
The guy who I always forget his name, but he was the guy who played Alfred in Nolan's Batman movies. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Michael Caine.
I think it's Michael Caine. He's the one who read it. I like that reading a lot, but I think Anthony Hopkins is my favorite reading of that poem.
So you're saying you can go on YouTube, and if you don't want to read the poem,
you can listen to
YouTube.
It. But I find reading it, like seeing the words, is a little bit better than just hearing them.
Cool.
It's funny because I'm looking at Prince, hearing him talk, and I just remember him as a little boy. So it's just strange to me. I remember him talking to me about dinosaurs. Now he's talking to me about poems.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was looking at pictures of myself, and I realized how much I've changed as I've grown. I mean, how much I've stayed the same.
Yeah,
that's so. Very true.
You've always been real smart, because you're making me sound really, like, feel yeah, really right? dumb with paradoxical and all that yeah. stuff you're saying.
But. Trying to hang and follow him. That's great. That's great stuff. So do you do any poetry, Prince?
I wrote a poem. I like poetry. I feel I have to be inspired to write. It's not something that I can continue to do. It's something that it needs to speak to me about it. I wrote a poem for my dad on his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that in the style of a villanelle, I believe. No, I wrote it in a sonnet, as a sonnet with an iambic pentameter. And because it shows the love and it conveys that love, I think that's only for people who really understand poetry. And I just like that format. I think it's a very simple format and it flows nicely. And I think it's important because, you know, after his death, people have only seen him as an icon or a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody realizes him as a human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what he is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think showing that from a personal point of view is what my goal is from here on out, is to show him more as a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Something else.
That's beautiful,
yeah.
man.
I think that's needed. Yeah, definitely. We do have a question. One of the Twitters want to know, I think it's Sequoia? S-A-K-O-Y-A. She wants to know, Prince, do you have any favorite poets?
I grew up on Shel Silverstein. I think that is, you know, that I think the reason why I like it so much is not because of the content of the poetry. I mean, it is great poetry, from The Giving Tree to all the books he's written, The Light in the Attic and stuff like that. But I think the reason why I enjoyed it so much is because it's the memory I have of me and my dad reading those right. together.
Mm, right. That, you know, it's funny. That's exactly, we're all nodding our head. That's exactly, yeah. he read us those books too. And that's the, it's the memory.
And I can still see the pictures and everything. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. So that is so true.
I think we're going to be talking for a while, but so before we get into more of inspirational stuff, tell us what you're doing like now with your Heal LA. So I'm getting a lot of questions about that and how people can support. Let us know all that.
Well, Heal LA is a very interesting thing because is something part of, I don't know about how many campuses have this, but part of Loyola Marymount is they have something called service organizations. And what they are is they're essentially fraternities for people who don't want to be in a fraternity. And they focus on helping your community. There are different service orgs for different types of things. And there are, like, you can do, you can be in a committed service org where you have to do a certain amount of community service hours, or you can be in a non-committed where you can just go along with the group and help out whenever you can based on your schedule. Heal LA is one of the latter ones. It's open registration for all the students, and it was started by a student. It's actually a very funny story mm-hmm. how it started. I was walking to my car late one night, and John Mudo, he came up out of nowhere to me, and he said, "Are you Michael Jackson's son?" I was kind of freaked out a little bit. I was like, yeah. And he's like, "Oh, man, I've loved your dad ever since I was little. He inspired me to do the things I want to do. I want to start a service org in honor of him, and it'd be an honor if you were a part of it." And I'd be like, "Yeah, I mean, that sounds good. You know what? If you could get it to me in writing or something like that, then we can get it going, right?" I didn't see him for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then I see him again in the same spot, the same night. He comes in with the folder, like professionally done.
Oh, wow.
He had his whole background story on there, the different partnerships he's been working with, who he wants to be partnered up with.
And this is another student.
This is another student. And it's something to say about John is I think that he's an exceptional person. Because as a 20-year-old, he wants to be the director of a 501(c) or a nonprofit organization,
mm-hmm.
similar to Dee Dee Jackson.
Yeah. Not many 20-year-olds are thinking that.
They don't think like that. Yeah. And when I talk to John, you can generally see how nice of a person he is and how much he cares. And his story is amazing as to why he wants to do it. If we do decide to talk to him or if we have time mm-hmm. or maybe in another time,
yeah.
we can. I'd like him to tell his story because I don't want to ruin it or anything.
Yeah.
But I think John is the real reason why this project was spearheaded. We are partnered with the Raise Foundation, Habitat for Humanity, and the LA Food Bank. And
cool.
basically our mission statement is to help child homelessness and homelessness in general, domestic violence and child abuse, as well as hunger. And the hunger is a little bit more broad and in so far as geographical location, because we can do things with the LA Food Bank, such as send food out to other countries. But the other two were really focused in LA because obviously you want to make the world a better place, but you need to start somewhere. And we've heard talks of, I've heard of people wanting to start something similar to that on Pepperdine or on USC. So could be, or hope, I would like to see it grow into something bigger than
So it's brand new.
Yeah, it just started this semester, actually.
And you guys, I know we've all retweeted, but you're raising funds.
Yes.
How do people contribute to that?
There are two ways you can contribute. We are trying to do... Our service org is more based on quality of our production than quantity of it. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is we have two really big events that we'd like to get done before the end of this year. We have one coming up for Thanksgiving and one that we're not so sure about for Christmas. And the one for Thanksgiving is we're trying to raise $20,000 to feed an amount of people. We don't know the full amount yet, but we're looking at the venue just changed. It was going to be an MLK Park. Now it's in a park in Inglewood. And we're hoping to present a Thanksgiving meal for the families that don't have a place to eat or they don't have food to eat for Thanksgiving.
Nice. That's
and
great.
Beautiful, man.
People can help by donating money because we do need money to purchase food. And also they can help by coming and volunteering. And for that, for people who would like to volunteer, they can come and go onto the Heal LA page and submit their name. And then the organization will put them on the volunteer sheet.
Is it just www?
The social media. There's Instagram. You can find them on my Twitter.
Okay, and we'll retweet it too.
Yeah, I posted the link a couple times. And
Cool.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that, you know, because it's a new foundation or organization, and obviously with you, I know you're doing a lot. What are some of the challenges that you guys are facing?
The main challenge that I think, because John is the president of it, and I think the main challenge that I face personally is devoting enough time for that. Sometimes I don't have time to show up to the meetings or something like that.
Because you are in school.
Yeah, I'm in school. I'm doing the production company. Yeah. I have other business stuff to take care of.
How are you liking school, by the way?
It's amazing. I think if you have the opportunity to go to college, I recommend it. Not for the education, because I think you can get an education anywhere. Mm-hmm. I think it's because it's an education about yourself. You get to learn who you are, what you like, who you don't like, and who you don't want to associate with. And I think it's a great period for a kid. Like, for me, myself, I don't see myself as an adult, but legally I am. You know, and I think
You say that proudly. Always do. So.
And it's a great... Yeah. I think it's a great transitional phase because you're technically not an adult. You're technically an adult, and you're basically living on your own in college, but you still have a support system there. And I think that's why college is so
very
great.
True.
Prince, what you never... In your college picking process, you never even considered outside SoCal.
No.
Why?
Because of family.
Cool.
I didn't want to leave anybody.
That's a great answer. And that's exactly... I did the same exact thing. It's just, you know, you have that... I don't know what it is, that home base. And you feel like that you want to be there for them.
Well, for example, because of the work and everything with this production company and a lot of stuff, it was moving a lot quickly and my time management hasn't been done properly. I haven't been able to see my family in about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more. I'm not sure. And then I feel that it physically affects me and the way I act and the way I treat people. I went home Monday. Yep. I was home Monday all day with my family. And for a while, it's like I didn't exist. Like, I was in a little pocket, and that was it.
Yeah.
Then going back home sucked, but... it just wasn't the same. But I think it's important.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Prince.
There's a question on Twitter from yours truly, April, who wants to know, do you hope to be a great humanitarian like your father, Michael, was?
I think everybody should hope to be like that. For obvious reasons, I don't think anybody can reach that amount because of how much he helped charity, how much he donated to it, and all the causes he did. I mean, I would like to be at that level, and I sure will try to be at that level, but I don't know if I can ever be.
I don't think anyone can ever. I mean, seriously.
You know what's cool, though, Prince? He knows that now.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 20, I was trying to be at that level, but now I'm 38, you can't be at that level.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many people, though, and there are some members in our family who... They want to be at that level. I feel like it's almost a competition. Mm-hmm. But for me, I see it as pride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the uncles and the Jacksons and the generation before us, They were the pioneers. Mm-hmm. They built the name, and they're the ones that made it great. Mm-hmm. Us, we have to go out and do our own thing. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, I don't think that no matter anything we do in our time, it could be the most amazing thing in the world. You can't compare it to them because they grew up in a time where black people just were not seen as entertainers, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's why it was so pivotal to have the Jackson yeah. Five, a family from Gary, Indiana, become so big.
And I'll say global entertainers.
Yes.
Yeah. Top, yes. You know, mass yes, yes. entertainers.
Exactly.
That's cool. I'm kind of lost for thought a lot talking to Prince because I just get mesmerized how smart this young man is. And I'm so yeah, proud totally. Of him.
There's a good question that kind of ties into that.
Yeah.
Gigi, I think it's G-I-G-I. So that's
mm-hmm. Hey, Gigi.
She wants to know, this is a question for me, you, and Terrell. Does Prince inspire you? She says, I'm sure he does. And how?
Prince, I'll go first. Yeah, I've told you this many times. You inspire me, man. And I've almost doubled your age. But I'm just so proud of you in every way, from your love to you show that you show the family, the entire family, not just my immediate family, to your drive and your focus. My only concern for you is, and I fell victim to this a bit, we want to do so much and do it so well because of, mm-hmm. I think, I'm going to just say it, because I think your dad, that's what he was, be the best, you'd be the best, that sometimes he was just so good at everything that if you're not so good at it.
Naturally good at it.
It's hard sometimes to be the best, you know, especially with everything that's going on, that don't beat yourself up.
I think it's funny that you say that because I can't remember who I was talking to about this the other day, but I was talking about, in my mind, I don't think that everything I can do is good enough for me.
Mm.
Like, it's always, I need to do next. It's got to be next. What's next? What's next?
That's See, nice. And that's what I'm saying. At 20, I was feeling the same way. And I'm slowly now feeling better about and learning how to handle mm-hmm. that. So I'm just telling you, as advice, watch out for that because don't beat yourself up, man. You know,
there's so many different things I want to do that
I know.
Like, I don't have the time.
I have a good. I have a good story because this ties into Uncle Michael. It was remember we were in Europe and we were, I don't want to say the word complaining to him, but we were just because we were like, you know, we want to do more. You know, our yeah. songs on the top, but we want it. You know, we're not doing stadiums and all that.
Like you, yeah,
yeah. And he had to really. He's like, you guys are doing amazing. He's like, your album sold more than our first album did, mm-hmm. and that really put in perspective. But it is true that when you see the greatness that he had, you kind of, you know, you want to be, you want to do great stuff, and you have a certain level of quality that, you know, you might kind of hinder that. And I've actually been a little, I've lowered, I don't want to say lowered the bar, but I
become more realistic.
Because it's like, I look back at, you know, 3T and everything like that, and we did so much, and we did great, but back then, I'm like, you know, we could have done this. Yeah. Yeah, we could have done this, and so you can't look at it that way. And
so, because I know what you're kind of going through, I see it a bit, and I just want to keep reminding you, you're on the dean's list. You got your production company with already projects done, and you're still on fast forward to securing the next ones, and you're doing the HLA stuff, and you're an amazing family member. So, you know, just don't beat yourself up. Yeah. That's my own thing. What were you going to say,
John? No, it's just it is a little bit difficult being the second generation mm-hmm. in that sense, because there is, especially with the first generation having the success that they have, of meeting those expectations.
Yeah.
And then we put a lot of pressure on ourselves and we don't allow the time to grow. You know, even with the Jacksons, it didn't happen overnight. You know, and Auntie Jan and everyone else, you know, Auntie Jan, I think it was third, fourth album. So with us, it's like we didn't even allow ourselves the time to grow into that.
But then again,
a lot of people expect you to automatically just have that type of show, like our first.
And to be amazing. Right, instantly.
Our first tour. Brotherhood tour, it's like we didn't have the budget.
Mm-hmm. we didn't have tanks on our stage.
So we didn't we didn't have all the big screens on the sides and all the smokes and stuff. But, you know, for where we were for the first album, I thought we did well. But at the time, we wanted so much more. But it's hard. And that was one thing that I guess the question was, Prince inspire me? And that's something that inspires me about you, Prince. With all the pressure, you seem to just care about you and your life and do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, I love that. You really live your life. You don't really care what people, I mean, you care what people think of you, but you don't,
not
you know
really.
What I mean? like you care about people and like how
I care about people, but not what
they think. Yeah, but not what they think. Exactly. And I love that about you, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And I think for me, it's generally, the first thing that comes to mind for me is just his heart, you know, mm-hmm. in general. And that's what I'm most proud of with him. And it resonates to me and it reminds me so much of his dad mm-hmm. in that way. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and I've told him how proud I am of him as well. But that for me is the icing on the cake.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to it, I don't think, because anybody in our, there's a lot of people that can feel like they're in a situation because their parents have achieved a certain level of success. Now, it might not be fame, but they could have achieved a certain level of success. Mm-hmm. I know some people who have parents that are doctors and stuff like that, and they feel that they have to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily that they have to. It's because their parents are kind of making them feel like that. And I don't, like when you're saying you don't beat yourself up about it, I don't feel like I beat myself up about it. I feel like I use it as a drive to go for more.
Good.
I feel like there's ambition and there's over ambition. I think I'm somewhere on the line where it's a problem. Like I'm right on the edge to where it can be a problem. Mm. And I think if I take on anything else, then it's a problem.
Then we got a problem.
Then we're gonna have to shut it
I'm
down.
Gonna watch you.
There is another question. It's and this is to all of us. Are there any women in your lives that inspire you?
Wait, before I answer that, I was actually going to talk about that.
That's a
very so it's actually perfect timing right, because yeah. I was thinking of this one person who I was thinking, what can I talk to Prince and my bros about next? And the one thing I think we have a lot of things in common, obviously, but the one thing is we all, as youth, lost a huge part of our lives in losing a parent, and there is one person. That in all of our lives that was so amazingly strong and instrumental in our rebound, and that is obviously grandma. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool that you asked that question because I wanted to say something, and it was kind of like something I wanted to say to others out there. It's, you know, you may not have all the money, you may not have, you know, a lot of things you may not have, but the one thing you can have and give is love.
Yep.
And that's the thing that I've seen grandma do throughout my life, is just through love and just through listening and just being a perfect model of love has made such a difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys all agree.
Yeah.
So I think I'm, in a way, you guys add on, but I wanted to actually say that prior is just a shout out to grandma for her love. And for, like, again, for anyone listening, provide love to people because that's what helps them overcome is love.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So true. And I was just actually, when you were talking, I was thinking of grandma because one of my favorite moments was when you turned, was 17 when you got 16 when you got your first car.
Yeah.
And I have a picture of you hugging grandma. It's like my favorite picture. Because,
I want that picture. I got to see that picture.
Like I have this picture of you and grandma and you're hugging her. And it's just it's an amazing moment for me. You know what I mean? Because it's just a lot of love there. But, you know, our family obviously is not small.
Yeah.
We have a lot of cousins and stuff. But it's like everyone will say the same thing about grandma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, she's just love. She's just really is full of love.
I think it's not that I didn't have respect for grandma when I was younger. I always did. I think my respect has grown as mm-hmm. I've gotten older.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Terrell said is right. I think grandma is literally the hub of our family.
100%.
Everybody will always be there for grandma. Like most of our family might not be in the same state. They might not talk to each other because they got their own thing going on. But grandma is the central. Like everybody will always talk to her.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I had the honor of interviewing grandma for my American Diversity class for an essay that I wrote. And the essay was about Black struggles and in America, both historically and modern day. And I was able to talk to grandma because she grew up in a time, I think she was born in 29, so she grew up in a time where Jim Crow laws were still in effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talk to her about that. But growing up in Gary wasn't racist, she said. Mm-hmm. There wasn't segregation. Black and white kids would go to school at the same time. But Black kids could not swim with the white kids. Black kids could not dance with the white kids. And then when she moved up to California, she said that there was a couple people who didn't think that LaToya was her daughter.
Mm.
There, that some people called her the N-word. and they didn't like her because of the way she, or the car she drove, or whatever, stuff like that. And I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and she still shows love to everybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that she has personally seen some of the worst in humanity.
Yep.
And the fact that she can still equally love everyone is something, it shows something about her character.
You're right. And I think that's just also forgiveness. You know, to love is to forgive. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I still am not where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But grandma, like, is the perfect example of that. And I think it's important to do that. Yeah. You know? So thanks for sharing that, Prince.
Yeah, definitely.
That is the tough thing, because grandma always sees the good in people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at times, it could be the downfall for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
The
double-edged sword.
You know, especially in our family, we're too nice, you know, and we get hurt in the end. And I personally think, you know, with Uncle Michael, the same thing. He's just always loving.
Yeah.
And even when people are attacking, he's just always fighting back with love.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it all comes from grandma.
But you know what? I think that's what makes both of them special people, is the strong love that they have. And I urge, again, all our listeners to be that hub, to really put your effort and work in to be that hub for your family. I mean, not only for your sisters and brothers and parents, but for your kids and your grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. Because, you know, speaking for grandma is my grandma, but for my kids, that's their great-grandmother. And for them, that's all they know is, you know, I shouldn't say that's all they know, but that's grandma. And that's, she's their constant, you know, love signal for them. The older female love is grandma.
And so, I also want to add, I think, before we go on to another question, another topic, is another woman that has, what was it, inspired, or what was the original question?
It's inspired, right?
I think it was inspired. That inspired you.
I think it's TJ's wife, Frances.
Oh.
And I think because she showed me what a family is, mm-hmm. and what a mom is. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that you guys just have it locked out.
Yeah. Thank you, Prince. That's what actually attracted me to her, Prince. I mean, it was her figure too, but it was her mothering skills, you know. And I always, you went through this too, but different. But for me, I was with a mom a lot of times. My dad lived further mm-hmm. away, and you know, when it all came down to it, I knew no matter what happened to me, if I tragically lost my life, I wanted to find a partner that would be a strong mother.
Yeah.
And that's important.
I think Frances definitely is that.
Thank you for that, man.
And I was also thinking about the other day, I have to thank you, because you uprooted your life for us.
Thank you, Prince.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. And would do it in a heartbeat. You're only young once, and you know, so.
Yeah. We're going to remind everyone, we are live on the Power of Love radio show. So if you are listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. And we are opening up for questions. You can tweet us at DDJ Foundation.
Yes.
Taj, do we have any other questions so far?
Gosh.
I know you're screening them, too.
Yes. I am screening them. I'm trying to stay on topic. But, you know, a lot of people are talking about their grandma as well. And you know, someone asked what was our best memory. Once he asked, you know, what is your best memory that you guys have of your grandma? Each one of us. Like, what is our best? I can start if you
guys. Yeah, go ahead, Taj.
Go ahead.
For me, it was definitely my wedding. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and because it was the first dance, you know, that, you mm-hmm. know, when you had the first dance, and I know grandma did not want to do the first dance, but I knew that she couldn't say no either. And it was so special to me, because I knew that she did not want to be up there, but she was there. But it was my way of just thanking her for everything, because my wedding wouldn't have happened without her. And, you know, all my role models, grandma was their role models, you know, whether it was Uncle Michael or mom or, you know, my dad. It was like, you said the hub, but to me, I look at her as like the sun, you know, and we're all mm-hmm. planets, we revolve around her, and we need her warmth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I've always looked at grandma. And that for me, like, just that, the wedding would have, that's all I want to say, the wedding wouldn't have happened without her. And that for me, she moved everything around to make it happen. And I'm eternally grateful for that. So that's my memory of grandma.
Need a second?
Yeah.
I have a lot of memories of grandma, obviously. Some I want to keep personal, private. Some I can't share. But One of my favorite memories, it's actually Grandma and Grandpa, was performing on stage, you know, with my brothers, mm-hmm. with the tour. I forget what.
London.
I don't know if it was London.
It's Wembley.
Was it?
Wembley Arena.
I guess it was Wembley, says TJ. But yeah, it was just having them there.
Yeah.
Them being there for us. Obviously, we lost Mom, and she wasn't. That was our goal, to perform and tour and be on stage, and she wasn't there and able to be with us. But having Grandma and Grandpa there, and I'll never forget their faces, because they were so proud of us and so happy. And I remember after the show, Grandma told us how proud she was. And she even told us about Grandpa, mm-hmm. how he was very proud, and he even actually started crying.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Right?
Sorry, Grandpa. You know, but yeah, that was that. You know, it just facade. It just showed as you know, because Grandpa likes to be super tough, but it's like, you know, it's the heart. It's just you can't hold it back sometimes, and that just made me feel good that. You know,
I'm happy you said that too, because I think it's also an opportunity for us to give our love to Grandpa,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you know, he takes a lot of negativity slack that's not right and not fair
or warranted,
especially from where they started, being in Gary, and to have us just one generation away, you know, to be all in our situation, mm-hmm. we can't only thank Grandpa for having that discipline.
Yeah,
if you think about it, none of our uncles are in jail. None of them are in gangs or dealt with that or you know, on drugs or anything. And that's their parents, you know, and Grandma and Grandpa and their foundation. And that's an amazing accomplishment, you know.
Very true.
All right, what else we got, Prince? Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I have a couple of memories of Grandma. Some of them are sad and then some of them are happy. I think the one that I probably remember the best is... I remember when I was really little, I remember I have a lot of memories of her, but I think one of the ones I remember recently is very similar to Terrell's, is my graduation about 2 years ago. I saw when I got off the stage, Grandma was crying.
Mm. Yeah.
And Prince, I always tell you how proud she is of you.
Yeah.
She's so proud of you. So I don't have the best memory. So I know I have a lot of memories of Grandma, but I'll make it short. I remember when Frances was pregnant with Rio, she was crying. And I was like, "Why are you crying, Grandma?" She's like, "I'm just blessed to be able to see another great-grandchild." And the thing I got to give Grandma props on, she knows all of our birth dates.
Mm.
She knows how many great-grandchildren, how many... She walks the walk.
It's crazy,
you know?
How much she knows.
Yeah.
I think for, right now it's a good time to just talk about, you know, role models in terms of how important they are. And a role model doesn't have to be, you know, as we said before, it doesn't have to be someone famous. And I think that's kind of the downfall of what's happening today, is that kids are looking up to these famous people that don't really have the morals and the you know, what they should have to be looked up like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I stumbled this now. But anyway, I think that it could be a grandma, it could be a teacher, it can come from anywhere. So you can be someone's role model. You don't have to even be related to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still be their role model and make a difference. And I have one of my teachers, you know, the 12th grade, 12th or 11th grade, Dr. Holbeck, you know,
he wasn't one of your role models, was he?
No, but he taught me one of the most important lessons of my life. He taught me not to believe everything I read. He had mm-hmm. two different accounts of the Boston Tea Party. And one was from, you know, it was from both different sides. And they both were saying that the others were savages. And he's like, which one is right?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's all of who writes the article.
Yeah.
And that really, he actually told us to take our books and just put them away, and that didn't go well with the Buckley Foundation. But it taught me to not just believe everything I hear.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a lot of, you know, the Jackson fans and all that know that lesson, but there's a lot of people that don't. And that taught me, like, just don't take things for face value. Just be knowledgeable, research it, and figure it out, and, you know, be open to certain things. And so, yes, that one teacher, you know, and I didn't even get a good grade in his class, you know?
Yeah.
But that one,
he was hard, though.
He was impossible.
I got a B-.
I got a C+.
But a B- is
to Charlie to beat me.
You beat him?
You know what?
It's a rarity. I think he softened up. Like, I think because
he was tough.
Yeah,
was
I had him hard. The first year he came, and so I think no one got into English class the first year. So I think he adjusted.
No, I don't. I didn't have him either. But I was thinking we've all had one teacher. Was it
Miss Mahoney?
You guys had Miss Mahoney,
yeah.
Right?
And Bernstein. Bernstein.
Yep. Bernstein.
She retired though.
Yeah. Shout out to Miss Bernstein.
it does. Like, you know, that's the thing. That's the amazing thing. If, you know, if there's any teachers listening, you really do inspire your students, and they do remember you 30 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the thing for me, I would say as well. And so, yeah, that's it.
No, and I'm going to piggyback on that because I think that's where the reward is. I think we as a society get too caught up with, you know, thinking that it's great to have all the money and all that stuff, and the reward really is in just making a positive impact and putting a smile on someone's face, and it's something simple as, you know, just you know, being there and just providing fun.
Yeah,
you know,
I think we put the wrong people up on a pedestal
in society, does
for sure,
society,
yeah. And that's a thing.
Yeah,
so. There is a question from Sequoia again, who wants to know if you can go back in time, you know, and talk to your younger selves. What advice would you give them?
That's a good question. Does anyone want to go first?
I can start because I already know the answer. I would say just, you know, enjoy what you have in terms of, like, as we were talking before, like, I was so hard on myself about success and in terms of achieving, you know, those goals. That I really didn't sit back and just enjoy the brotherhood era like I should have.
Yeah.
And then when you get older, you're like, oh my gosh, those were good times and stuff like that. So for me, I would say that would be it.
I think mine is very similar to Tosh's. For me, I'm not that old, so I don't know what's my self. But we'll work under the impression
of
that.
Run with it.
I would say that... I would say don't care so much, but not like how it sounds. I think just... Don't let things bother you or don't let things get to you because stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Get over it. It already happened. Now deal with it.
But that's also how you grow as a person.
Yeah.
Is dealing with stuff, and you know?
So. And I think the way you deal with it I think the way you deal with problems says more about you as a person than the type of problems you've had in your life.
That's true.
And I think that for me, I tried not to, like, it happened. Don't cry over spilt milk. You don't do well on a test. Something doesn't go well. You got to move on. That's too late.
Mm-hmm. And you know that lesson more than me. I'm still working on that skill.
I have that skill.
Yeah, you both have that skill really well.
I have that skill.
You know, you just got to let it roll off the shoulders.
Yeah, that's how you stay young.
It's the whole...
how you look young, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all the same. Enjoy life, you know, because it goes so fast.
Yeah.
You know, just looking back, you gotta enjoy the moment. Live in the now, you know. It's tough, but we all have to do it. Even now, you know, 20 years later, we'll be looking back at this day.
Yeah.
You know, these will be the good old times.
So when you asked the question, I was thinking, like, what regrets do I have? And I always say that I only really have one regret. Prince has heard this story so many times, so he's, like, probably looking at me like, again. But I think when you go through life and you make mistakes, you learn from it. But the one regret I have is not going to school, not going to college. When I did, as a teen, like when Prince is going now, and I've told you, Prince, your dad was so on me about go. That's the one thing I didn't listen to him on, because the other side of that, if I went, we'd have to put 3T on the side and for a 4-year period, and I was having too much fun, and my goals were going too fast, so... That's the one thing I regret is not going to school as a 18, 19, 20-year-old. And, you know, like you said early in the show, I think that's a crucial thing to do for kids, not only for their education and learning, but to help find yourself and figure out who you want to be. Let me ask you this question. You've always wanted to be a filmmaker since you were a young little stud. Is that still what you want? I know it's kind of shifting a bit, but I'm going to ask you now. I've never really...
It
directly asked you, but as a 20-year-old.
It definitely has changed a lot. Like, when I was younger, my dad, he had us taking film classes. He got a teacher from either USC or UCLA. I can't remember. And we did a lot of film studying. He taught us about shots. For my birthday, Taj actually gave me one of the notes that my dad had put together and written. And So I was always under the impression, you know, I want to grow up, I want to direct, I want to make movies, and that's something that I still want to do. But as I've grown up, I've seen the way people interact with each other, and I feel that with age, there comes a certain level of respect that no matter how old you are, you will still have that certain level of respect, and you'll have that advantage. So then I tried the acting thing for a little bit, and it's fun, but it's not something that I enjoy doing it, but it's not something that I would love to do. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that I kind of like doing business. I like negotiating, and I like handling stuff like that. And Tosh had a production company. And so I kind of thought, you know, maybe I'll figure out what goes on with production. I found that out after I started the production company. So there's the little problem with that. No, that's a good there's a lot it. More that goes into it. So I just dove head first. But I think the way I'm doing it, like my plan of attack, is I would love to see... I want to learn as much as I can while being on set. Like, even when I was little, I'd be on set, and I want to watch how the director interacts with the actors. Because when it comes down to it, the director of photography, he's the one that handles the shots. Mm-hmm. As a director, you have to know how to interact with people. You have to be able to invoke the right type of emotions from them. Mm-hmm. And I think from watching other people do that and just being able to help on part of set, then when I feel like I've gotten to a certain part in my life where I have a certain level of wisdom from mm-hmm. my age, mm-hmm. I think that's when is probably a good time. Now, that being said, there have been directors that have started off younger, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, mm-hmm. but they started off at a very young age. I just feel, for me, I enjoy the production stuff and the producing so much, I can do that in the meantime.
Beautiful. Very good. I love it. Prince, you know what you want.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
I love that about Prince. I really do. He's always known what he wants to do.
So I think, you know, we only have 5 minutes left, so I think we should do some quick plugging of DDJF. This show has been a little different than what we've done in the past. Again, we didn't really have a format coming in or a structure. We just wanted to kind of talk and try to gear it towards inspiration and hope and just feeling good about yourself. But if you're just discovering our show and want to learn more about our foundation, please make sure you go to our website, www.ddjf.org. And Todd, do you want to give out the social handles again?
Yeah. Twitter is at DDJF Foundation. Facebook is at DEE Jackson Foundation. And Instagram is at DEE Jackson Foundation.
And then Twitter is DDJ Foundation, because yes. You said DDJF Foundation, but it is DDJ Foundation.
Thank you, DJ.
I got you. All right, you guys want to do some last thoughts, or is there... one more thing before we do that. Prince, one more time, your Heal LA. Let's plug it again.
Yeah, when is...
The event has been moved, I think, to the 19th now.
Okay.
We're updating the GoFundMe, so all the information should be on the GoFundMe link when it is updated. With hours and the date. And then the website. There's no website. There are the social media handles.
Mm-hmm. I got the Twitter. The Twitter is Heal, H-E-A-L, Los Angeles. So Heal Los Angeles. And you'll see a cool picture with a bunch of students and young Prince there holding it down with his red LMU shirt.
You know, representing.
Lion Pride. How are you liking LMU?
I loved it. I think it was actually probably one of the best choices that I've made in my life. Yeah. It feels like it's a relaxed place. It can be a home or it can be a place of business.
So, and now that we're saying that, because I remember as a youngster, you always wanted to go to USC.
Yes.
And I just so we could say something, these both, Taj and Terrell, went to LMU, and they both separately were like, Prince should go to LMU.
Yeah.
It's more his style. He'll like it.
We didn't want to say it beforehand, though.
I mean, I toured USC, and I just wasn't feeling... I mean, for some people, it's the perfect school for them, and I understand that it has a better standing than LMU when it comes to business film and stuff like that, or at least a ranking.
Yeah.
And they have the Trojans help Trojans, but I think that they have a Lions help Lions thing as well. But I feel that... you're going to spend so much time at that school that you might as well feel like home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that and LMU has that very type of community vibe.
Yeah.
As opposed to USC, where it's very education based.
I love it, Prince.
LMU's great.
It is. You liked it, Hunter?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I only got to go, I think, for a year and a half, because then we went on tour. But the time I was there was great, and I only applied to two schools. I applied to LMU, and I applied to actually USC.
I applied to three, and plus Chapman.
I got into both, but it was baseball or music.
Yeah.
And Todd was already at LMU, and I toured the campus, and it was very much like Buckley. just bigger.
Just bigger.
Yeah. And I felt at home, you know?
I'll be back. I have to actually...
Taj, I've been on you, man. What's up with this?
You know, I did... And I also made a promise to Mom that I'd, you know, finish college. And so, for me, it's
you're close.
I'm
aren't
like one
you?
Year like, away. I'm a year
Taj,
away.
You got one year away?
Okay, yeah. Why don't you do this? When Prince is a senior...
I'm timing it. So I can see how fast he goes. He might skip faster.
No, I plan on graduating in 2019.
Okay, so I got some time. But yeah, that would be funny if we both had the caps and the gowns at the same goodness. Time.
All right. Well, any final thoughts for you, Prince, as our co-host? And first of all, thank you for stepping in.
Thank you, guys. I had a lot of fun. I thought this was interesting.
Cool, man. Any final thoughts you want to say or share or anything?
No, just that if anybody can help out with the Heal LA financially or through actual volunteer work, that'd be amazing.
Awesome. Taj, Terrell, we're good?
No, I think it's great. I love what you're doing, Prince.
Yeah, thank you.
Proud of you. Love you, and I'm proud.
Love you guys.
All of us are incredibly proud of you, Prince. We love you. And we'll be back here next Wednesday, 1 to 2. And that's pretty much it. Hope you guys have a good rest of the week. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.